So from the minister's perspective, and even from the Christian perspective, you all know this as well, that the key to our peace, joy, and contentment is in the spirit or the inner man. That's what the whole goal of Sunday mornings that we prepare for, to continue to encourage you that this peace is in the inner man. Behind the scenes with God, where I must deal privately with myself before God. A mindset on the flesh, though, is to neglect what's going on in my own spirit. So I'm constantly focused on things outside of me, people, circumstances, bills, whatever it may be. And this kills life that's supposed to come through the spirit in private with God. So I may be disturbed by how people act or respond to me at home, at work, school, whatever it is. If my mind is set on the flesh, I'm a victim to circumstances, which obviously disrupt any kind of peace in life I want to be defined by. So if we neglect to deal with our heart behind the scenes with God in private, we start dealing with things too late. And this becomes the heart of God for all of us, the heart of pastors, and of course, even your heart for your children or your friends or whatever it may be, those of us who really love God and seek God, that we don't want people to deal with things too late. Until we get to the place where we fall out with other people, our life is filled with conflict and divisions, blaming other people to be responsible for our peace and happiness, because this mindset is set on everything going my way. The flesh, circumstances. And that means we're neglecting how to handle things spiritually by faith with God. That's the whole context of a Christian. Learning how to live this life by faith in God. So Romans 8:7-8, continuing from this same mind frame. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. So if I'm constantly thinking about everything going on in my life, I can't settle down and get with God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So it's saying, if I'm set on everything going my way in my circumstances, I don't live by faith in the word of God and being led by the Spirit of God. I'm just trying to make everything okay here, which means I'm hostile to God. Because making things right my way is to live by pride. And you can't please God in pride. We have to please God by humility and faith. So if I'm too proud to submit to God and be a peacemaker, for example, with people, how can I actually be pleasing to God if I'm falling out with everyone? Because Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, right? So if we're not going to listen to what God says, we're hostile to God. Living by circumstances, how we feel. So James 3:14 says this, if this is our situation, if we find ourselves more so concerned about our circumstances and how people are treating us, the Bible says this, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, meaning I need things to go my way, it says, do not boast and be false to the truth. It's saying, tell the truth that you're wanting your life to be led by the flesh as opposed to submitting by faith in the spirit. Having things go the way God would dictate. That means we have to deal with things privately with God. That's why we're always talking about prayer, reading the word, fellowshipping, and just trying to get the atmosphere to be not so focused on the chaos of life outside of God. So I'm challenging you today. I want you to challenge yourself, actually. Is a neglected spiritual life distorting how you see your life and the people in it? Is a neglected spiritual life distorting how you see life and the people in it? Have you become a victim of something that you can fix with God? Right? But you may refuse to take responsibility for your own spirit and how you should deal with it. As God says, don't blame circumstances. I want you to come to me with it. Because today we're going to deal with Cain and Abel. And this, you may have heard it a million times you've been in church. And you think, oh, the brother who was jealous and killed his brother. Yes. But there's so much in here that I think can help us just see privately with God. Because as a minister, my whole life, any pastor's whole life is to focus on that. Behind the scenes with God. That's kind of like, you know, you may work with computers, you may work with whatever. And the minister has to just try and cultivate a life that is private with God and do the best they can to help people see that life is more profitable than living for the flesh. So today, looking at Cain and Abel and how Abel becomes an innocent victim to Cain's hostility towards God. In private with God, Cain neglected to truthfully deal with himself, and it distorted the way he saw his brother, and he killed him. So are other people our problem, or is our hearts before God? Behind the scenes with God, private worship, we'll start. Genesis 4, 1 through 3 says this. Now, we just got read, but I need to read it for myself. Now, Adam and Eve knew, Adam knew Eve, his wife. There we go. And she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of fruit of the ground. I'm going to stop there. Now, we need to understand that worship is of the heart, right? Worship of the heart. It's great to come to church and all that, but worship really is of the heart. If you're familiar with David, King David, and how God told Samuel, I want you to find a king and replacement for Saul. He told him, I don't look at the outward appearance, I look on the heart, right? So God looks on the heart. So if we're to look at the outer appearance alone with Cain and Abel, both are worshiping. Both are bringing their offering, right? This is why the appearance of worship, it is necessary. The appearance of coming to church, reading your word, prayer. You could do those things outwardly, but that doesn't mean your heart's in the right place. Amen? We can do that, right? But at the same time, if your appearance of worship is there, that doesn't mean God, you're blessed by God at that moment, because your heart might be somewhere else. So just like being a loving spouse or a parent or a child, we may have the outer action that may look good, but where is our heart? Where's the motives? So to look at the outward appearance alone is not good enough as the Christian. God sees the intent of our actions behind the scenes. God knows whether we are giving him our whole heart or we're being just dutiful. We're just doing it because we're supposed to. He knows our exact intent, right? So God, knowing the heart of these two boys, now begins to judge the heart of their worship offering. Look at verse 4. It says this, and Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock in their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. But I want you to see, this is why we should want God to judge us. Because if we're really authentic and really want a relationship with God, to have God judge my heart, no one else knows my heart, he invites me to authentic worship. Because he's the only one that knows really what's going on with me at that time. If I really want to be authentic. So this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, because he's desiring God. And he's saying, look, I want to be authentic with God. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself. He eliminates himself from 90% of us who we got justifications, rationalizations of everything of why we did what we did, right? But he's saying, I don't even judge myself. I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I'm not thereby acquitted. So he's saying, I don't think I did anything wrong, but that doesn't mean I'm innocent, right? He says this is how authentic he is. It is the Lord who judges me. So Paul desires to be authentic, leaving the Lord to judge. Because here's the truth, because people, nor do you and I, know our own heart. The Bible says our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Not just other people, you yourself. So Paul is saying about himself, I don't know my own heart. I'm leaving it to God to bring me up conviction and show me. And then he's saying about people only know what they see or hear, right? So we could be misunderstood and condemned by other people, yet be pleasing God. Or loved by people and God be grieved with us. And this is why I'm saying you want God to judge you, because only God knows why I struggle like I struggle, why I do what I do. See, people won't give you that benefit of doubt, but God knows the whole context of your life. He knows how you grew up. He knows your propensities. He knows the things you struggle with. And this doesn't mean he gives you a pass for it. He just says, I'm merciful. I understand why you act like that. That's the kind of God you want to worship and serve, and that you want to be honest with, because he doesn't condemn you like people are prone to do. so your heart can be open to be corrected by a Lord who is compassionate and wants to help us in our weaknesses and sins and infirmities. So worship allows us the opportunity to be honest with ourselves before God, bearing our hearts privately. Privately, because this is what Abel did for the Lord to accept his offering. Hebrews in the New Testament confirms this. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Because Abel gave God what God wanted. He humbled himself from his heart by faith. He gave him what God asked for. Isn't it a struggle? I know I've tried to do things my way, and I wanted to give God what I wanted to do. But that's not faith. That's pride. That's you choosing. And this is Cain. Cain represents dead religion. An offering that is not wholeheartedly devoted to God. Right? And he didn't want to be honest with himself. And when you don't want to be honest with yourself, you avoid God from the heart. So you don't come with a full heart running to give yourself, knowing that you have sins to lay down or things to give up. You try and avoid it from the heart, and you can go through the motions like Cain. So at this point, Cain is in denial due to the shame of a divided heart, and that's where we can come from. We come in here knowing at times, okay, my heart may be elsewhere, and I feel shameful about that. But look at Psalm 86:11, because we're all in this boat. But here's the grace of God inviting relationship. This is David. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. That's a private struggle. I'm privately struggling to love you with all my heart. Help me. And this is why we preach the gospel. Because if we preach condemnation, like you're not good enough, you're not doing this, why would you want to come to a God like that? But we know Christ died on the cross for our sins. So in spite of our wickedness, even if we're struggling, even if your heart is totally elsewhere this morning, you can come to God by the blood of Christ, convicted to be like, Lord, I'm sorry for going after myself in my way. That's what the gospel gives us. Gives us mercy and grace to confess sins and repent if we are humble. And this is the problem with Cain. Cain stubbornly won't give God his whole heart. So he gave God what he thought he should have, right? And that's what religion does. Religion expects God to bless what we decide to give him. I did this, Lord. I did this. God didn't ask you to do that, but you did it. Now I'm expecting the blessings of God because I did this thing, right? But God wants our whole heart, which requires faith and humility. It's coming to God and says, what do you want from me, God? That's humble. Think about a marriage. If you just do things and then you expect to be blessed and commended and honored, and you instead of just coming to the person saying, what would you like me to do to help you, honey? That's humble, right? And then you get the instructions, you humble yourself by faith and do them. But Cain said, I'm going to give you what I feel like you should have, and you need to bless me for it. Now think about as a parent or a teacher, when someone does a half-hearted task and they expect you to accept it. Like I did my room. You should accept that. And that's not the standard of what I want to accept. That's stubborn pride if you don't change and do it right. Right? And that's what God is saying this, that you cannot hold on to pride and be a true worshiper of God. All of us are prideful on some level, but you can't hold on to it once God calls you to do something and say, I'm not going to do that. You're not worshiping. It's not walking with God. That is an appearance of worship like Cain. But in private, he is selfish. He's given up his things he's going to do. I'm going to give you the offering, Lord. But privately, this is about me. And Cain is reversing the order of worship. That God is here to serve and to bless my agenda. I want God to bless the offering I decided to throw out there for him. God is my servant. Total reverse from what Abel was doing. So at this point, God accepts Abel's offering because it is by genuine faith. Abel gave what God expected. Cain gave to God what he felt God should have. And he's mad because he expected to be blessed by his offering. And this is where it gets real tight. because we start to see the motives here. And this is the patience of God in private. This is so helpful for us. The patience of God in private behind the scenes. Verse 6, I'm going to pick it up there. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Won't I forgive you? Won't I bless you? But if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. This is where we have to take responsibility when in denial. Cain is angry that his offering was not regarded like his brother's. But Cain, instead of examining his own heart towards God, examines God's judgment and gets mad. Now, we've probably all been mad at God before. But the problem at that point is not God, it's our heart. Cain wants the blessing like his brother, but doesn't want to do what it takes to get it. He won't worship. Yeah, he wants to be blessed by God, just like his brother did. And this is where we think entitlement mentality came in now. No, this is entitlement mentality, Cain. Because look at him. When you don't make people do what is required for the reward, but give them the same reward anyway, they feel entitled, right? Try that with children. If one is working real hard and you give them a great reward, the other one is doing nothing and you give them the same reward, that's a mess. And the other one feels like they got robbed because they did what was expected. The other one feels entitled, like I don't have to work hard to get this. Cain in worship, he didn't worship and he wanted to be blessed by God. Here's the denial part. The Lord is asking him, why are you angry? Why is your face fallen? Cain will first not deal with his own denial of the truth privately. That's all God's trying to get him to do. You know why I didn't accept your offering. See, Cain himself knew he didn't give his whole heart to God. He knew it. He's lying to himself. And that's what I tell the youth. The moment you lie to yourself, no one can help you. No one, not even God. Because God here is telling Cain, you know why are you angry? You know what you did, but he won't admit it. And God can't help people, us, if we're not honest. And this is in private. This is in private. God is just warning Cain, because he says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? I'm not condemning you. Yes, it's wrong, but I want you to repent. God is just wanting Cain to get out of denial, to examine himself. Be truthful to me, Cain. I know your heart. Cain, you know why I'm rejecting you right now. But what hinders honesty is the consequences of our actions and the guilt. The guilt. Cain's guilt led him to stronger denial instead of repentance and truth and compassion and mercy and grace and joy and fulfillment. He's trying to run from the guilt. Isn't that fascinating? Because it's in his heart. And you can't run from stuff inside of you. That's why we need a Savior. So we have to be honest. And Cain had to be honest. And this is the hard truth. We reap what we sow. We got to be honest that I did it. Because that's the only way I can get healed. But this is the thing. Even though you may have did those things, we may have done those things, we don't allow shame to define us. Why? Because we have the gospel. He's just saying, repent and find mercy and grace. Just tell the truth. I got blood for you. I shed my blood for that. But don't lie about it. Don't create a story around it to make you feel better about your shame. 1 John 1:8 and 9 says this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. This is Cain. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Jesus is saying, if you confess, or John is saying, if you confess your sins, God will forgive them. But if you're like Cain, well, you say, I don't have no sin. I did nothing wrong, God. Why are you not blessing me? He says you're deceiving yourself, you're lying to yourself, and the truth is not in you. Cain made the fatal mistake, especially to be a worshiper or foe, pseudo-worshiper. He left no room for the Lord to judge him. That's pride. Pure pride. It's not about what people say. What is God saying? Even though God declares Cain wrong, he refuses to accept the truth. So he is like a spoiled child who has insisted on getting their own way. Cain leaves no room to be judged and corrected. He's immature and in unbelief. No room. Everything has to be done his way, right? But God's patient love desires Cain not be ruled by his pride. But all of this, I want you to see. This is the thing I want you to see. All of it is going on in private in his heart between him and God. This is not a public thing. The patience of God to deal with our heart and keep on pointing out the thing that we will not give up and admit that we need help with, that we ignore. God is saying, in private, I want you to deal with that with me. So it's verse 7. He's warning them, if you don't do well, sin is crouching at the door. It's desire for you, but you must rule over it. Pride is the major roadblock to faith. To believe in Christ, I don't want to do it God's way. To get spiritual maturity, I don't want to grow in God. Pride becomes the roadblock. And Christians, we should be known by our humility because we came to Christ. We admitted we needed a Savior. But it's amazing that we can come to Christ in humility, yet go our own way in pride. That's why prideful people are the most spiritually immature. We all struggle with pride on some level. But if it's never getting hammered down to get humble and go God's way, it's impossible to worship. See, how is it possible to worship God and you're going your own way? That's a contradiction. So I ask you, is everything done your way? You can measure that by relationships. Is everything have to be done your way? Do you ask if you would like to do it someone else's way? Because that's not love. That's what God is showing. 1 Corinthians 13:4. I want you to see this. If we're insisting on our own way. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Cain was insistent on his own way. His pride was keeping him from a relationship with God. And God shows us what is heartbreaking about real love and relationships. And all of us, if we had real love and experienced that, know this. That you can love people who don't love themselves enough to deal with the truth. God is trying to love Cain. He just won't deal with the truth. See, real love can never happen until you deal with the truth, right? Real love with God between us. God doesn't bless us as we walk in a lie. He blesses us as we walk in the truth, right? He blesses us as we walk in the truth. So that love we can't experience is we're devoted to a lie. Think about a relationship. One person devoted to a lie, one person devoted to the truth. There's no real love there. It can't grow. It dies. This is what makes the gospel crucial to know real love. Because Christ loves you and I with all our flaws and shameful deeds. So we can be honest. There's no need to live a lie. Right? There's no need. See, being honest with God is I'm securing God's love because I know it's not about a performance. It's about what Christ did. See, if you're honest even with someone you love, you're honest because you're secure in their mercy and compassion for you. If you're a condemning person, people are not going to be attracted to you. They're not going to be honest with you and open. It can't get deep because they're afraid of being condemned. That's why God is so upset about and hurt by Cain not coming to him, because he's offering compassion. Cain, repent. I'm not going to condemn you to shame. You did wrong, but get it right. God wants honesty because he's compassionate and loving. Cain is refusing to be honest about his shame of being rejected. He'd rather live in denial of the truth than miss out on God's redeeming love. So at this point, Cain has become his own God, ruling and dictating what is right and wrong in his life. But his rejection of God, who is love and freedom, that's what God is, love and freedom, he's left to be a slave to his own lie and sin. This is why Christ came, to get us out of bondage of the lie from the devil and sin. And Cain is showing himself to choose that over love and freedom. Now, this I'm finishing up here. Private denial to public shame. This is how it comes. It was privately God was telling them to deal with it. Now it's going to get public shame because he refused in private. Listen to this, 8 and 11. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. So he's walked away from God. And I don't want to listen to God no more. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. When they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened his mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." See, Cain's denial in private led to bondage in public. Cain's denial in private led to bondage in public. Now, this is our fight personally. It's just whether or not we are submitting those struggles with God or not. Because when we refuse to submit those struggles to God, we end up like Cain, neglecting that private place we could be dealing with it in God until it comes up in public. It can manifest itself in blame, resentment, all kinds of trials or whatnot that we get into, but it's from a neglect in the private that God already showed us. Look at Hebrews 12:15. It says this, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. By it, many become defiled." So people become innocent bystanders of our heart issues. It's saying if you would have dealt with the root of bitterness privately, you would not defile people publicly. Now think about the world today and children who are affected innocently by people not dealing with heart issues. Taking our issues in our heart out on people we love or people we don't even know. So the neglect of private worship makes you have to deal with things on the surface of life where they're already out of hand. That's what it's saying. The root of bitterness is deep in there, deep down in our heart. And by the time they get up to an exploding anger and all these kind of things that manifest itself, it's out of hand already because it's been stewing down in your heart and it's a neglect of private worship. Issues of the heart don't get solved on the surface. We all know that. Arguing does not solve the issue until the heart gets dealt with between us and God. Those are just branches. And the argument will come up again. It'll come up again. Some of us know there's been years of the same issue. Why? Because the root is never dealt with. So arguing with people is usually pointless until you are honest enough to deal with the root yourself. Cain was jealous because he didn't consider Abel's heart and his own irresponsibility towards God. He didn't even think that Abel may have done better than him. Jealousy refuses to give people credit. Refuses. Instead of giving them credit, I might as well blame them and say why they were able to get there and why I wasn't. That's what Cain was saying. He wanted to get mad at him and not deal with his heart before God. So he stayed on the surface of his life and never dealt responsibly with the root of his life. He just dealt with everything chaos up top and never wanted to deal with responsibility. 1 Timothy 1:5 shows this, that for the Christian, the aim of our charge, Paul says, is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. All of those go back to the root. If you have issues in the root of your heart is not pure. Nor you know in your conscience, like Cain should have known, I know I'm the problem, but I refuse to admit it. So your faith is not sincere. See how that works? It starts in the heart, and then it wrecks with your conscience, and then you can't do what God would want you to do because you're not dealing with the root. So we get in conflicts and fights with people because we want to be loved or respected, but is the issue of the people or our heart with God? Cain with God in private rejected perfect love. That's what I fight not to do, and that's why I preach to you not to do that. Not fight God's perfect love in private. Because other people get affected by our neglect of a spiritual life. It's just a sign of no faith that God can deal with my heart if I just continue neglect. So as a slave to his sinful anger, he initiates a conflict with his brother who was innocent before God and publicly killed him. Cain was a slave to his anger, and I'm concluding with this. Are you honest about the real problem? Imagine if in relationships, instead of kind of, you know how we'll get angry and fly off the handle and think the other person is to blame, instead of taking time to actually pray and wonder, am I the problem? Is my heart the problem? James 4:1-2 says this, what causes quarrels and causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, this is Cain, so you murder. You covet and cannot attain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Now Cain did not want God. That's what's the revelation. He did not want God. He just wanted what God can give him once he saw Abel blessed. So are you in conflict with people because you're not getting what you need from them? So you're looking at them maybe, and God is saying, I want you to look at me. I want you to look at me because Christ wants us to deal with him privately and ask him. That's worship in spirit and truth. That people can't give me what my heart needs. Love is great, but that's not the root. A person is not the root of real love. God is love. A person could just affirm what God is already doing. That's all he can do or she can do. God challenges us to honestly take responsibility for our issues in private so we can be free. Be free. That I'm not blaming other people and mad at other people because they didn't do this or they failed in that. There's no peace there. Imagine if Cain took responsibility and worshiped like his brother. They would have fellowship and love. Instead, he neglected it and killed him. John 8:31 says this, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is why we preach getting in the word, prayer, being honest with yourself before God. It makes you have to be honest with the real issue in your own heart. When you read the word, you don't read it to see what's wrong with another person. You're reading it. God, this Holy Spirit speaking to our own spirit to point out the issues in us so we can be honest with ourselves before God and then just love people freely. Like, I'm not expecting you to be my God. I forgive you. Whatever it needs to happen, my root is in God. So God wanted Cain to be honest about his own heart, but he refused and publicly cursed himself. See, the sad part about Cain was he worked the ground. That was his job. That was his gift that God gave him. But because he neglected spiritual worship with God, God cursed the thing he worked. He cursed it. Because God is over all of it that we do. Our families, our career, whatever it is, he's saying, you neglect private worship with me, I touch the thing you think you own. And we should be dealing with it in private. That's what God is saying. Because his heart is, I don't want you to have that shame, Cain. Cain cursed himself. In the heart of God, the heart of me, the heart of Pastor Hong, the heart of all of us as Christians should be, we don't want to see people curse themselves. So there should be a fight to deal with our own heart in private. Let's pray.